Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Wednesday edition of the program, the Honey Baked Ham Show lineup for today. We've got our Zaxby's headlines coming up here in segment one. We'll take a look at the top news of the day with IU and Southern Indiana sports. Later in the show today, be joined by Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek. And that interview with Coach Hoffman, it's going to come from our Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day, which we've been working on all week. And it's just about set. It will air on Thursday night. We'll talk with all 12 coaches in the area. I'll have more on that coming out later in this program, and we'll have Coach Hoffman's interview as the top team in Southern Indiana to start the season with big hopes for what they could accomplish this year. We'll have that interview coming up from the Thursday night program as a little bit of a preview to promote that to program on Thursday night. Then later in the show, Wednesdays, we always talk with Josh Cook. He's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. And he joins us today as we really dig into high school basketball. Going to be a lot of high school hoops in this show, a lot of high school hoops this week as we get ready for the boys' season, which begins next week. 1 week from tonight, we'll have some games. 1 week from last night, we'll have some games in the state and across the area as well. So a fun time there. And with all that being said, and that's the show lineup, by the way, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service. It's still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All that being said, think about yesterday. We saw some schools tighten up, announced that they are going to go to virtual education. We saw some announcements that middle school sports and below are going to be canceled. We saw that the governors in most of the Midwestern states either put forward new recommendations or new policies to tighten things up. Others may be going to do it today or later this week. And also a run on toilet paper and paper products at the grocery store. So it kind of reminds you of March when all this first started really affecting the area. And I don't know that we're going to go to a total shutdown or anything like that, but boy, within the last 24 hours, things sure seem to have gotten a lot more serious about shutting some things down and taking some extra precautions. And I think that's going to continue. I think you're going to see some things really tighten up a bit here in coming weeks as numbers have just continued to soar, not just in our area or state, but really this part of the country. And I think you could make a case for the majority of the country is now. They say that this is the third wave of the coronavirus, and this is the wave where, you know, you're getting it at regular daily occurrences. It's not necessarily happening because you went to some concert or some event or some family or friend gathering, that it's so common now with community spread that you get it maybe when you do something that's just a daily routine you've been doing, even as you've been cautious for months during the pandemic. So with all that said, I think we are all growing concerned about high school basketball this season. And as we speak right now, in Kentucky, down in Lexington, their Board of Control, which is the governing body for the Kentucky High School Athletic Association, they have a little different makeup and format than what we do in Indiana as far as how they are governed. But their Board of Control is meeting now and had to go through some fall sports items, but now getting to the winter. And there seemed to be, according to a story from Jason Frakes of the Courier-Journal yesterday, there seemed to be the real thought from at least coaches locally here in the Louisville area that perhaps the season, the high school basketball season, is going to be postponed and pushed back further into the year or maybe start in 2021. So I guess we'll find out possibly what the KHSAA decides here coming up, maybe even during this show. But that has everyone on edge as we get ready to begin high school basketball with the boys next week here in Indiana. What's going to happen with attendance? Is it going to be parents only? We know that's the case for now in Clark County, Floyd County, as it stands today, still allowing some attendance. I think it's 1,100 or so at New Albany and 750 or so at Floyd Central based on the capacity of their gyms. But will that hold? I think there's some question marks around that as well. So let's hope we get to the season. I think we're all excited about that. We're all ready for basketball, whether it be high school, whether it be IU, which, by the way, we found out their non-conference schedule yesterday. No big surprises there. But there definitely feels to me a little bit more tightness and nervousness in the air when we think about playing basketball games and we think about having any sort of crowds really outside of parents next week on Thanksgiving week for this season. And obviously the holidays are a reason for concern that virus numbers can go up and spread, and a lot of schools are going to e-learning through the rest of the semester at least. And so some odd and interesting times. I think we say that a lot, odd and interesting times we're going through right now. We'll see how this affects our beloved high school basketball season. You know, spring sports have felt the effect. They were completely canceled a year ago. You feel tremendously for those kids, those players. Fall got it in pretty good. A lot of outdoor sports in the fall. There were some games canceled. There were some unfortunate situations where players had to miss a number of games because of the virus or because of being quarantined. There were some situations where games were canceled. The ultimate was when you had to lose a team from the state tournament, whether a volleyball or a football team, because they just couldn't go on because of quarantining and because of the virus situation with their specific team in school. That was the worst. But high school basketball in our state, boy, if that were to be canceled or not played, there would be a lot of disappointment. And we'll see how things play out, but obviously some trying times ahead. And as we get into the winter months and the flu season, and so many other things that can coincide with this virus, we'll see how it all plays out. But let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. The schedule for IU, the non-conference schedule, came out officially yesterday. And with that announcement, IU also said that there will be no fans at Simon Scott Assembly Hall indefinitely for a period of time. So that leaves the door open for, you know, February, January, perhaps, I guess, for fans. But for now, no fans at Assembly Hall this season. And that obviously is going to be a weird environment. Can you imagine being in Assembly Hall? I've been in there before for like AAU games back when they were allowed to be played on college campuses. And that's odd enough to be in a big arena. It's cool. It's neat to be there. It's cool for the kids to get to play there. But it's just a weird feeling when you know what that place looks like when it's a normal game and when it's rocking and full and the students are there, and it's going to be a completely different look. No matter how they try to mask it for TV, it will be a completely different look, obviously, this season. But that's going to be the case for most of college hoops, I think, this year. I saw Butler still planning to have 25% attendance as of now for their men's basketball games at Hinkle Fieldhouse, but Indiana announcing yesterday indefinitely no fans. But the non-conference schedule, no surprises. November 25th, Tennessee Tech comes to Bloomington. November 30th, Indiana begins the Maui Invitational, which will be played in Asheville, North Carolina at the Cherokee Center. They open against Providence. I love it. It's a 2:30 in the afternoon game. What a way to get the season started with some afternoon hoops. Of course, the Maui, a good chance to sit down and watch some really good college hoops throughout the day for a few days. And of course, the next day, December 1st, Indiana, depending on if they win or lose and who else wins or loses, will play Texas or Davidson. And then, of course, December 2nd, they will play, we hope, in the championship game of the Maui event. December 9th at Florida State in Tallahassee. That's part of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. December 13th, they return home to take on North Alabama, their second home game, really second and only home game of non-conference play. Of course, their second and final game of the season against a lesser opponent, a mid-major opponent, a bye game, whatever you want to term that contest against North Alabama on December 13th. Then December 19th, it's the Crossroads Classic in Indianapolis, part of a two-game deal. Butler and Indiana in that December 19th event. That's always a lot of fun, showcasing the Big Four basketball programs in the state of Indiana. Speaking of COVID-19 and college hoops, a number of coaches, if you follow this in the last week, have come down positive with the virus. Tom Izzo, obviously of the Big Ten, that's close to home for Indiana. Jim Boeheim at Syracuse, you know, a little older, hope he's doing okay. He got the virus. And then Ole Miss announced earlier today that Kermit Davis is going to probably have to miss the first two games of the season. If a second test comes back positive today, he will be out to start the season for Ole Miss. So this is not just affecting the players. It's obviously going to affect coaches and coaching staffs and others that are around the program as well. And Kermit Davis, the latest high major college hoops coach that is out, likely out to start the 2020-21 high school, or just let me say college basketball season. A couple notes. Did you know tonight's the NBA draft? It doesn't even seem like it fits during this time of year. Of course, we're all out of sync. The NBA season is not beginning. We're not in early season play right now as we should be. December 22nd, I believe, is when the NBA is going to begin. Normally June, the draft, it kind of takes place during some of the summer basketball stuff. You got the NBA Summer League that starts after the draft. You've got all the high school recruiting stuff going on in Vegas and other places at that time. And it just seems to fit in well in that time frame because you're starved for basketball coverage and you want to know the next generation of great stars. You want to know where some of these college players, IU guys or maybe Big Ten guys, where they're going to go, where they're going to get drafted, how they're going to do at the professional level. It just seems all out of sync this year. And in fact, until we got to earlier this week, I really hadn't even paid any attention to the draft this year. But Minnesota, the Timberwolves, they currently have the top pick in the draft tonight. But it sounds like, according to a lot of reports out there, that there are a lot of trade talks that are heavily in play for that number one pick as well. And as far as who's going to get drafted, I think you probably know the at least the top three. LaMelo Ball, you know, he played overseas for a year until he was eligible to play in the NBA. He's, I think, expected to be the top pick. James Wiseman of Memphis could be two or three. Anthony Edwards of Georgia, who played for Tom Crean for one season. That was a big get for Tom Crean at Georgia. He will be one of the top three picks, it sounds like. And then there's a second tier of players that should go 4 through 9. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the names because so many of them are foreign players, and I just have no idea. But Obi Toppin of Dayton, we remember him, obviously. He's expected to go somewhere in that 4 through 9 range as well. And there are some other players, Isaac Okoro from Auburn, Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State, Patrick Williams from Florida State, also expected to go somewhere in that 4 through 9 position as well. But I tell you what, my take, and I don't know very little on the draft this year, very little on these players, but LaMelo Ball, and I saw someone write this in the last couple days, he's very, very talented. And I think there's two schools of thought about him that if he gets in the right situation, the right team, the right teammates, the right environment that's healthy for him, he could be a just real standout NBA player that has oodles of talent when it comes to his game and how to play the game at an elite level. I think on the flip side of that, you know, there's some things about him that are kind of goofy. And if he doesn't get in the right situation, if he doesn't get around the right people and lead his basketball life the right way, he could be a bust. And I mean that. There's that thought. He could be really good or he could be a bust. And I guess that's a chance with every player. But for someone that has his talent, to not know for sure that he's going to be a star down the line in the NBA is kind of crazy. But that's how delicate this situation is with him. But Anthony Edwards, I saw ESPN has going second. James Wiseman third. As I scroll down through the list, Tyrese Maxey of Kentucky, he's projected to go 14 by ESPN. Maryland, the highest Big Ten player I saw is Jalen Smith. We all remember him from Maryland. ESPN has him going at the number 20 position as well. And not a lot of Big Ten guys for a pretty good year for the Big Ten Conference last season. Not a lot of Big Ten guys projected by ESPN in the first round. When you get to the second round, Cassius Winston of Michigan State, I saw he's projected to go 29. Xavier Tillman of Michigan State, 32nd. So possible that Michigan State has two early picks in the second round. Number 37, Daniel Oturo of Minnesota. That's where he's projected to go. And you've got a couple additional Kentucky and Indiana players, but that's pretty much it. Or Kentucky and Louisville players, let me say that correctly. But that's pretty much it for the Big Ten Conference for this year as far as first and second round players for the draft coming up tonight. And it is fun to watch the draft. I love to hear the breakdowns of the players. I love to learn more about some of these guys and go back through their college or their high school careers. So I'll probably have it on, but it's definitely going to be a different feeling. 7:30 on ESPN tonight, the 2020 NBA draft taking place at a time that just doesn't even seem right, to be honest with you. And that's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day. It comes up on Thursday night at 6 o'clock. When we come back in the next segment, we'll tell you more about that program, and we've got a little teaser from that program coming your way in segment two today. That's Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek. The Dragons are projected to be the best team in the area, number one, I would assume, in 3A. I think one of the best teams overall in the state, and so why not give you a little teaser with Coach Hoffman? We'll pull his interview from the media day for Thursday night and play that for you next. Speaking of that, Silver Creek, their girls, number one in 3A girls basketball as well. So a big winner of basketball in Sellersburg. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back. In this segment, we've got a little teaser from our Thursday night Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day that's set for Thursday, November 19th, coming up tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. We are going to have a full evening to get you set for the high school basketball season, and so we wanted to give you a little preview of that, and why not start with Silver Creek? They are projected to be the big team here in the area. Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby leading the way, but some other talented players as well. And here's what the schedule looks like on Thursday. At 6 o'clock, we'll come on. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, joins the program. We'll go through all the big storylines, who we think the top teams will be, some other interesting facts about this upcoming high school hoops season. And around 6:22, that is when we'll get started with the coaches. And Doc Nash of Borden will be our first coach. Then at 6:34, we'll talk with the Hayden Casey, the coach of Christian Academy. 6:46, we'll talk with Kyle Brown, first-year coach at New Washington. And we'll round out 1A basketball starting at 6:58, a conversation with Chris Brown of Rock Creek on the Lions for this season. We'll take a break, and then after that, we'll get to it around 7:12 with our 2A segment, Clarksville coach Brian McEwen, followed by Henryville coach Jared Hill, and also Providence coach Ryan Miller. And then later in the 7 o'clock hour, we have the 3A segment. We'll talk with Sean Smith of Charlestown. We'll talk with Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, and you're going to hear Coach Hoffman's interview as a preview here in just a few moments. And then later in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll get things going with the 4A teams, Floyd Central, New Albany, and Jeffersonville. So Todd Sturgeon, Jim Shannon, followed by Andrew Grants, and then we'll wrap things up just before the 9 o'clock hour on Thursday night. Don't forget, you can catch the show live here, 1450 AM, 96.1 FM, streaming live at bigxsportsradio.com/listen-live. Again, listen-live is the direct address. And there also dial in if you have someone that wants to call in and listen from out of the area, 563-999-3250. Again, 563-999-3250. So plenty of ways to listen Thursday. And if you miss it or you only can listen to a short bit of it, we'll have the full show available for you as a podcast in our feed as well. This is always a tradition to start the season. We hear from all 12 coaches. And, of course, normally we do it out at a local restaurant Normally we bring the coaches. We ask them to bring their top players with us as well. And we have just a full night. And it's going to be a full night this week as well, this year as well. But it's just not going to be out with fans and other visitors as normal. Just going to be the coaches. So excited about doing it. And here is a preview to get you ready for Thursday night at 6 o'clock with Brandon Hoffman, the coach of Silver Creek, a little teaser from our Clark and Floyd Counties High School Boys Basketball Media Day for this 2020-21 season. Coach, I know tough deal as far as seeing the tournament come to an end at the maybe the beginning, you could say, of this health crisis that we are still in. But if there is good news about last year's season being halted, it's that you return a lot of your key players, including Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, that will hopefully lead you back to that promised land once again this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it best, Matt. last year, the way the season ended was not ideal, and it was such a tough thing, especially for the seniors last year. But thankfully for us, you know, we only had one senior, and, you know, we're going to miss him. But thankfully for us, we had the opportunity to have most of our guys back. And so, as much as it stunk last year, I think the good news for us is that, we're just going to continue on and just keep looking through the front window instead of the rearview mirror when it comes to talking about the pandemic and basketball then.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing going into this season, and we've talked a lot on my daily show, you've been very gracious with your time, but Trey Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, Division I players that are entering their final year of high school basketball. Cooper made the commitment earlier in the summer to go to Toledo, a great program. It seems to be a really good fit for him. And then more recently, Trey Kaufman made a big announcement. And if you think back to recruiting and decisions and announcements, I think only maybe Romeo Langford would enter, at least in recent years, the amount of interest that fans locally, fans in our state and even beyond had in the recruiting decision of Trey Kaufman. And I've got to believe that for him, for his family, for you, for your basketball team, to know that he's made a decision in Purdue, to know that he signed his letter of intent and that decision's out of the way, and now he can focus on being a senior and being a Silver Creek Dragon and trying to win a state championship and finish his high school career really on a legendary note, I think that's probably a really good thing for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. With the recruiting, it was a really cool thing. I mean, having all the college coaches in the gym and talking to them on the phone all the time. And but then after a while, it kind of became laborious for Trey, I think, with, you're talking 2 or 3 hours a night, either Zoom calls or phone calls and just all the text messages and stuff. So it's got to feel like the monkey's off his back in terms of just another thing of for him not to stress about. And so now the thing with him and Coop both, it's let's just focus on winning. Recruiting's kind of out of his mind now. To now it's like, how can I become better and how can I help my team win? And that's good for everybody.
Talking with Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek as we get ready for the upcoming season. I'd like to talk not only, and again, Trey and Cooper, I think anyone that follows knows how important they are to your team and what great athletes and basketball players that they are. So I'd like to talk a little bit more about what makes this Silver Creek team extra dangerous. It's because you have some guys that fit around these key pieces very, very well and that seem to operate very well in the team setting. And I think that's been a recipe for success the year you won a state championship, last year with the amazing season you had before the tournament was halted. And I know you're counting on that same type of teamwork and chemistry again this year. So tell us who rounds out maybe the starting lineup, possibly with Trey and Cooper and other guys that you're going to be leaning on to fill roles on this team this season.
Well, I mean, I think right after those two, you got Brandon Northern, who's a Division I player himself. You know, Brandon's going to be one of the all-time greats here at Silver Creek, just a year behind him. You know, he was a sophomore point guard last year and had a really good season, and he's arguably our most improved player coming in this year. So I think he's just going to have a phenomenal year. And then I think you hit a nail on the head with the value of the other guys on the team. I hate to say other guys, or I hate to say role players, because, you know, we have some guys that any other year at Silver Creek, traditionally they'd be the best players on the team. Isaac Hinton started every game for us last year. You know, he's a senior who's played with us ever since second grade, and he's a tremendous athlete, and he's shooting the ball really well this season. I expect great things from him. Trey Shane, is, you said his name multiple times during the football season. He's an awesome athlete. And, you know, last year he played some big minutes as a sophomore for us. Nolan Gilbert's a senior for us that played was a starter and a six-man for us. And, you know, we have another junior, Zach Stricker. We have two freshmen, I think, who could play for us some this year as well. So it's not easy. Sometimes, you know, you get to win a lot. You get to win a lot, but sometimes when you're the guys playing with star players, you gotta accept your role, and you gotta be willing to appreciate and understand your value of the team. And I think that's kind of rare nowadays, Matt, in terms of guys just, you know, high school kids wanting to come out and be part of a team, even on a really good team. And I think, you know, these guys need to be, you know, told by the coaches and fans and everybody how important they are. You know, for example, if Trey Shane shuts down the other team's best player defensively, that's just as valuable as someone scoring 20 points. And so we've got a lot of guys who play their, who do their jobs well, and we're so grateful that we have them to go along with, you know, Trey and Cooper and Brandon.
Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek, my guest. Let's look at the schedule for just a moment. And you guys in recent years, this is nothing new, but you really have continued to upgrade the schedule. You take on lots of 4A schools. You've been willing to travel the state, especially with some of the players you have moving through the program right now. And early on, you opened with Columbus East, a 4A school, member of the Hoosier Hills Conference, and then you play three Mid-Southern Conference games following that contest. But really, December 12th is kind of a showcase game, a state-level game. You'll take on 2A Fort Wayne Blackhawk. And that game has taken on a little extra meaning because you've played them before, and there's been a rivalry in the summer between Trey Kaufman and Caleb First. They're both recognized as Mr. Basketball contenders, probably the top two in our state right now as we head into the season. But now Trey and Caleb, who've been somewhat rivals, are going to be teammates after their senior years of high school basketball. So it'll be really fun, and there'll be a lot of pride on the line to see those two battle likely for the last time in their high school careers.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just the Blackhawk game, you know, last year that game was an awesome game. It was, you know, one of the better, well-played games we had all year. And immediately, right after that game, you know, Brian Snow, the guy who puts it on, said, "Hey, how about we do it again? Would you be willing to play them again? You know, same time, same place." And we're like, "Heck yeah." And Coach Davidson at Blackhawk said the same thing. And from all accounts, you know, Caleb's a great kid. Just talking to the guys from Purdue and the other schools that recruited both Trey and Caleb, he's a great kid. And I think sometimes when you become a rival, you know, you want to look at him kind of negative light. But, you know, he's a great kid. Him and Trey are going to be tremendous teammates at Purdue. But, you know, December 12th, all that's going to be kind of cast aside. We're going to try to beat him. And, it's going to be a marquee matchup in the state for sure.
Brandon Hoffman, coach of Silver Creek, with us. How focused is this team? And the reason I think we all know the answer. The reason I ask you that easy question is because when I've interviewed Trey, when I've interviewed Cooper, when I've run into some of your players out in the community, they seem extremely focused after last season especially, and knowing the potential that they have as a unit together. They seem extremely focused on one goal, and that's not just winning a sectional or a regional or having a great season, but winning a state championship. They seem to be a very driven group, and even Trey Kaufman, moments after he made his public announcement for Purdue when he joined us here on the Big X, a special show we had for that commitment, he immediately turned the attention, I felt like, in that interview away from himself and away from the decision to go to Purdue and more so on Silver Creek and the community and having fun with that for his upcoming year. So I just get the feeling, and I'm sure you know this from top to bottom, that this group is focused on winning a 3A state championship again, like they feel probably rightfully they should have done last year had the season not been called to a halt.
Yeah, and I think our guys get a lot of credit for how you know, how good they are on the court and how mature they are on the court, but even more so off the court. I have no worries about these guys. A very mature group, and they're a very focused group, both academically and basketball-wise. And, you know, let's make no bones about it. They do want to get back to Banker's life. But just the sense of urgency and just the focus every day, I mean, how could you not have it after being, you know, after not being able to finish last year? How could you not have it after, you know, with the seniors we had this year? It's just I just couldn't fathom a situation where our guys would not savor every second of practice and every game and try to ride this out and take care of business. This is the final ride for these seniors.
Talking to Coach Hoffman of Silver Creek. Coach, obviously there's a lot of interest in your program this season with some of the big-name players and also just the general success that you've had. And I know the community, we talk about this a lot, the community in Sellersburg and really across Southern Indiana, especially when they've got a special team. They come out and support and make those big games extra special with the crowd. And as we stand right now, things are going to look a little different, at least at the start of the season for a number of weeks, because in Clark County, attendance is really limited. And I think that we all expect there to be some attendance issues even further as we go on into the winter and into the season if the pandemic numbers continue to rise. But any thought on what it would be like to play a season, to play home games with just parents and to not have the community there? I know this community has backed your team all the way, so they'll continue to find ways to back you and support you, but it may be different than the normal. We'll see you at the game, and we'll cheer loud for you, Coach, on Friday.
Yeah, it's definitely not ideal. I mean, you know, last year we pretty much packed every home game, and, you know, of course we would have probably more than that this year, but, you know, it is what it is, and I think fans will just have to, you know, stream the games or, you know, however many people are allowed to have in, we're definitely going to get to that capacity. But, you know, I think the parents and fans and the players, especially and coaches, you know, we'll do whatever it takes for us to be able to have games. You know, as much as important it is to have a home crowd advantage and fans in the game, the most important thing is us being able to play the games. And we're going to do whatever it takes to play the games if that means a smaller crowd. I mean, if we got to go in the parking lot playing a hazmat suit, I don't care. We're going to do whatever it takes to play these games. So it is going to be a lot different. We had some great crowd student section. Our alumni was strong. Our fan base was tremendous. I mean, this gym would be rocking on a normal year, but that's you know, it's a sacrifice we got to make, you know, across the state to be able to have this season. That's the most important thing.
And again, Brandon Hoffman, that interview is from our Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day, which will air Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. I always call it a marathon broadcast, and that's what it is. We'll start at 6 o'clock with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, to kind of preview the storylines of the season, and then we'll get to every coach. All 12 will join us starting at 6:20 or so on Thursday night, and we'll have a full schedule out later today on our social media. You can find who's coming on when and get a full list of all the coaches and the approximate time that their interview should appear on the program Thursday night. But look forward to it. A lot of interesting stuff from the coaches, and hard to believe the season is here. We will see how things go. We'll head to a commercial break and come back. Josh Cook joins us today as well. We're going to dig into some high school basketball for the upcoming year, talk about some other local sports topics as well. Coming your way next, our segment with Josh, always presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. We'll head to a break. We're back with more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And And we're back. Last night we had Night of Champions with Providence Boys Soccer honoring their 2020 IHSA Class 1A Soccer State Championship presented by Frank H. Monroe Heating and Cooling. We talk with the coaches. We talk with a number of the key players. Just a fun broadcast last night. Glad we were able to put that together and appreciate the cooperation of the Providence Soccer Program. And a big congratulations to them on a state championship. If you missed that broadcast, it's available as a podcast, just like all of our shows from the Hoosier Report. You can search the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison on Apple Podcast, on SoundCloud, a number of ways to locate us. Basically, any place you may listen to podcasts, you'll find us there. And we hope that you'll check that show out last night with Providence Boys Soccer if you missed it. Talking local sports and some high school basketball now with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. This segment each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your needs, including T-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com to find out more. That's mlshirtco.com. Josh is with us, and Josh, as I've previewed a couple times during the show today, he's going to join us Thursday night as well to kick off our Clark and Floyd County High School Boys Basketball Media Day program. And so I don't want to give away everything that we talk about on that program, but I do want to talk some hoops with you, Josh. The season is finally here, just about ready to tip off. We'll have games starting next week.
Can't wait. It's going to be super exciting. And, knock on wood, we'll have games next week. We're still, in a little bit of a, COVID outbreak time. But, we'll get some games going, I'm sure. So that'll be great.
Well, we know it's going to look different with fans. I think, all accept the fact there are going to be postponements and cancellations and probably some crazy scores that you got to scratch your head at thinking, well, how did that team beat this team, until you find out that maybe some players were in quarantine or who knows what could pop up during this time. But I do believe the sentiment is there to play basketball. We've seen some school systems announce recently that they are going to go to virtual education, some starting as soon as immediately for the rest of the semester. There's been some cancellations on middle school sports. But so far, locally, and I think across the state for the most part, everyone hanging in there as far as high school sports go this winter, trying to come up with plans to mitigate COVID-19, keep everyone safe, limit fans, maybe no fans in some scenarios, but move forward with basketball and sports this winter.
Yeah, it's definitely trending like, everything's moving ahead. I think we even, we're getting into swimming and wrestling. I think we had a girl swimming started maybe last night, and wrestling starts. I think one or two wrestling teams are in some this weekend. So, it's things are starting to get going, and it's great. Girls basketball season's going. We've had some, as you mentioned, we've had some postponements, but that's just going to happen during the season. It's just going to be a way of life. So just have to. Have to be flexible and roll with the punches at this point.
Talking with Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, this segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. Josh, let's talk about basketball for next week. We all agree unanimously that Silver Creek in the area is going to be the top of the boys' side this year. But I saw this morning in the News and Tribune, Silver Creek ranked number one now in girls basketball as well. So let's start there. What a big winner this could be, with fans or without fans, for Silver Creek. I think they've got state championship caliber teams on both sides.
No, definitely. I would wholeheartedly agree on that. Off to a great start. The girls are 4-0, and they've just been won by an average, I think, about 30 points. Just a super impressive start. And, because of that, they've leapfrogged, Salem, which was preseason number one in 3A, and now on top of Salem. But, it's pretty crazy. Like Scott Shane and I were talking, and, he mentioned how many Mid-Southern Conference teams are ranked or undefeated. You've got in 3A Silver Creek, and and Salem are 1-2, and then Brownstown's tied for 6, and then you know, Eastern's ranked in 2A, and you know, haven't even mentioned North Harrison, which is undefeated, and you know, Charlestown won its only game so far. So, you know, it's just that conference, especially, is very tough this year. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see what Silver Creek can do. They got a huge game next Wednesday night against North Harrison, so that'll be a real big test for them.
Josh Cook of the News and Tribune. Josh, we're going to talk tomorrow night on the Media Day program about some of the specific headlines going into this season. But outside of Silver Creek on the boys' side, maybe take me through just some thoughts as far as other top teams when you think about who could be in play for a conference championship or a sectional championship. I think we have a number of teams that are in that category, but I'm curious behind Silver Creek maybe how you would rank them.
Yeah, you know, you got to start with HHC and, you know, Floyd Central, Jeff, and New Albany. They, any of those teams could win the conference. It's really, I think it's going to be a dogfight this year between those three teams. Floyd, I would consider the favorite at this point just because of Jake Heidbreeder and some of the other guys they have coming back. But, I mean, Jeff's going to be really good with Lovings Watson, the transfer Brandon Razor's more, and, you know, Kobe Stoudemire. They're going to be strong, and New Albany, you know, Tucker Bism and Caden Stanton are one of, if not the best backcourt in the area. So, you know, I expect that to be really competitive. And then, you know, you're looking down into 2A. You know, obviously Providence isn't in the same conference as Clarksville, but both those teams are going to be, you know, good. And then 1A, and the Southern Athletic Conference, you know, they're going to be, Borden's going to be, you know, improved. New Washington, you know, they're awesome seniors from last year, but, you know, they still have some talent there. And then, you know, and Lanesville's always going to be good, but it's just going to be a competitive season. I'm looking forward to it. And in the Class A sectional, Rock Creek, I think, is going to be really improved too. So that'll make things interesting in the Borden sectional as well.
Talking with Josh Cook, a little high school hoop preview. And don't forget our Clark and Floyd County High School boys basketball media day coming up Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Josh and the News and Tribune, a big help in bringing you that program as well. Josh, top players, Silver Creek, Trey Kaufman, Cooper Jacoby, Jeffersonville, Will Lovings Watts. He's going to be, I think, a high major Division I player when it's all said and done. Jake Heidbreeder, recently committed to Air Force Academy. We know what he brings to the table for the Highlanders and what a solid player he is. I'm just beginning with those four players to touch on the talent that is moving through this area right now. And I feel like we've had talent moving through this area now for a number of years. This is a great time for Southern Indiana basketball. We've talked about teams. Let's talk about some of the individual players now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tremendous, tremendous, especially this year. It seems like, you know, as you mentioned, Trey Kaufman obviously leads the way, the, you know, Purdue signees. And he's really improved, apparently, over the summer, you know, gotten in the offseason, gotten a lot more athletic. And, you know, just excited to see what he can do on the court, what improvements he's made. And then, you know, Cooper as well. You know, he's that kid's a tireless worker. He's always in the gym, trying to get in the gym. So, you know, put him and Jake right there. You know, Jake just had a great, great junior season, and I expect a big senior season from him too. You know, he averaged close to 20 points a game last year. And, you know, definitely see that again this year, if not more. You know, Lovings Watts, as you mentioned, is going to be a huge recruit in the class of 2022. Very versatile player, and just excited to see what improvements he's made in his game. You know, it's been a while since we've seen any of these kids play, so it's really going to be fun to see how, you know, a lot of them really use the coronavirus quarantine shutdown. A lot of them used it to their benefit and really got in the gym and worked on their skills, their you know, not only in the gym on their basketball skills, but just their athleticism and that kind of stuff too. So it's going to be fun to see, you know, what these kids have done and improved on.
Talking with Josh Cook. Josh, right now the KHSAA in Kentucky is having a virtual board of control meeting to decide what happens with basketball in Kentucky. I think their season's scheduled to begin next week as well. Talk of a postponement. I'm not able to listen to it as I'm on the air right now, but I've seen a number of tweets and following Jason Frakes at the Courier-Journal where the date of January 4th has been talked about as a start to the season where they would still finish at the normal time in March, giving a little time for maybe some of these numbers to subdue and also just for players to have a break almost, so maybe there's no spread among their high school, their team, as schools going to virtual learning or maybe already in virtual learning in the state of Kentucky. But yeah, I've continued to get questions throughout the show today. I really haven't addressed it, but what are my thoughts on do we have a high school basketball season or not? What are your thoughts? Are we able to get this thing in? We know it's going to look different, but ultimately does all this happen? Or do you think we too could fall to some delay or even postponement? Or, of course, the worst case scenario is a cancellation.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen. The IHSA, obviously, the basketball tournament itself is a huge moneymaker for it in general. So, I mean, I think it's going to happen. It's just a matter of I don't know what the maybe we'll have a break of 2 weeks or something. I don't know. You know, it's going to be hard to say. But you know, I think basketball season, in some way, shape, or form, is definitely going to happen. And I think there'll be a tournament this year too. You know, I think they lost maybe $1 million something on the tourney last year. Not happening. So I think they'll do their best, do whatever they can to make sure a tournament happens this year. Whether that's going to be in March, I think it will, but that has yet to be seen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll all cross our fingers.
Yeah, no question. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, as always, thanks for the chat. Look forward to talking with you again tomorrow night during our high school boys basketball media day program.
Yes, can't wait. That's exciting.
Absolutely. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt. They can help you if you're looking to raise money for your team or event. Let their online fan stores work for you. You can outfit fans and raise money with very little effort. Major League even does the sorting. All you've got to do is cash the check. Find out more at mlshirtco.com. Back with you Thursday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.